Welcome to Off Topic, But On Point. I'm Adeta Beer, and here we embrace the unscripted, the unconventional, and dare I say it, the unexpected. Because sometimes the best breakthroughs happen when you go off topic. Each episode, we dive into business, leadership, and life, exploring the moments that challenge us, shape us, and push us forward. So whether we're tackling entrepreneurship, collaboration, mindset, or even navigating resistance, one thing's for sure, we'll always bring it back to what matters. So get ready for candid perspectives, thoughtful insights that will keep you engaged, inspired, and maybe a little bit uncomfortable in the best possible way. As usual, I have with me my beautiful friends, Dr. Yanine de Cabo, also known as the Intentionalist, and Pastor Christo Pretorius, the Expander. Let's go.
Last time we dug into the tension between staying grounded and staying open, we talked a little bit about rethinking childhood lessons, breaking rules that we never actually question. And the quote that sparked it all was strong convictions loosely held by Simon Sinek, who, by the way, spoke to Pastor C. I mean, we know people. What we spoke about also, Dr. J, as you mentioned, you pointed out that there is an emotional cost and then there is a financial cost to every decision, which really brings me to today's conversation. What happens when conviction calls you somewhere, but it's going to cost you? Because let's be honest, obedience sounds noble until it asks you for something uncomfortable. Sometimes it asks you to be inconvenienced. And that's where I want to sit for today for a little bit. The tension between focus, obedience and outcome, waiting and moving. Because here's the thing. Obedience doesn't actually always come with an applause. Actually, it rarely comes with an applause. It's not glamorous. It's not Instagrammable. And more often than not, there's a gap between our purpose and the fruit that we're praying for. So let's start there. What's one moment where obedience felt invisible or misunderstood?
I've grew up with various views. And my mom being corporate, her dream for me, or maybe just her natural thought for me, was I'm going to go into corporates and I'm going to climb that ladder and I'm going to be very successful. And I think when I said I'm starting my business, not only her, my family took it as, this is not a good thing. This is ridiculous. This is crazy. This is too risky. But I knew in that point that was exactly what I needed to do. Was it easy for me? No. Did I have it figured out? Absolutely not. Did I know at the time what it was going to take of me? I had no clue what I was in for, but the obedience was there. And I just knew, like I said the last time as well, it's going to work out well. I just need to do what I need to do. And I speak often about the principle that if you only do the things that other people are not willing to do at the times that they are not doing it, then you will make a success. And that comes with that consistency and that hard work. None of what we have today didn't come without a lot of sacrifice, a lot of obedience, and also a lot of hard work. And it might more often than none look like the opposite of the people around you.
For me, it's something way back, 23 years ago, maybe a little bit more, when I had to go for the brain operation. It was a decision that I had to make. Just thinking about it, like I can't even comprehend what my life would be like if I even had a life, if I didn't go for that operation. You know, how my life could have been, well, it would have been completely different, absolutely completely different, you know. And so making the decision to go for the brain operation instead of continuing my life playing sport, you know, seemed at the time like the best decision, because it was the best decision regarding health. It was the best decision you know, for people around me. You know, yet nobody knew the internal struggles that I had to go through. You know, my whole life up until that point was the only thing that I wanted to do. That was the only thing that I was really pursuing. Every day, I would literally say every day of my life, you know, I was practicing, I was working towards a goal. And, you know, it all came to a staggering halt, you know, when I was diagnosed with a brain aneurysm. And the doctor said, listen, there's a possibility every year that this thing can burst. It will grow percentile every year that it will burst. And if it bursts, you're dead, you know, unless it bursts in the hospital while you on the operating table and people know what's happening. But most of the people, you know, they die and then they realize they had a brain aneurysm that burst in their brain. So for me, the internal struggle was a big challenge, you know, and, you know, people maybe didn't understand, you know, the reason I was convicted, you know, in making this decision. I was so sure about it, you know. So I think that's where, you know, obedience could be invisible to other people. And where it could be misunderstood is that, you know, everybody that knew me at that point in my life, you know, knew the desire to play sport. And so for them, it was a complete, you know, turnaround, 180-degree turnaround from where I was going the opposite direction, going for a brain operation. And then I was, within a month or two, I was like, no, I'm going to serve God and I want to, you know, go into ministry. And so I think there's a lot of internal struggles that we face and that we go through when we have to be obedient towards things. Because, you know, here's the thing is that you hear something. You know, Dr. Janine just mentioned she heard start a business. Nobody else around her heard that. So she's the only one that can be obedient, you know, to that voice or to the calling or to the instruction. And so absolutely, to everybody around you, it might look like you're crazy. It might look like you are, you know, doing the opposite of what you've always said. But you've heard something. You've been instructed in a different way, in a different direction. And so definitely obedience, I think you framed it quite nicely, you know, where it felt invisible because nobody else, you know, were present in that moment. And so I think the people in your life play a vital role. Thinking back over it now, you know, I think my parents, my parents did an amazing work where they allowed me to make the decision. You know, I was 20, 21 years old when I had to make that decision. And they placed the responsibility completely on me. They said, listen, we're here to back you. Either way you go, but it's your decision because it's not their life. It was my life. And, you know, if I was in their position, I would have like not influenced, but I would definitely have given my fair share of point of view on what I think should happen. The way my parents, you know, played it out, you know, I can just attest to the maturity that they showed. I don't know what it feels like for, you know, parents to have a son that has to go for a brain operation and they completely remove themselves from the decision and allow that young kid, with due respect, my life was in a mess, you know, from knowing what I wanted. I mean, we were, you know, enjoying the weekend, you know, partying, you know, making stupid decisions every day of our life. And yet they said, you make the call, you make the decision. And so I think the people around you play a vital role and a vital part in those decisions.
That's so powerful, Pastor C. It reminds me of a quote. When God calls you, it's not a conference call. It's never a conference call. And I think we do. We look for external validation. We look around to see for someone, just someone hear me. And I can attest to that. I think many times God has spoken to me and nobody else heard it. In fact, quite often the opposite is true. Quite often leadership will treat you like God didn't speak to you. And then you're like, okay, but actually, he did. He definitely did. Which brings me to my next question. Dad often said the blessing is in the instruction. He's flipped his little script today a little bit, but it's just the blessing is in the instruction. That's what stuck with me when he said it the first time, and it's kind of like solidified for me. But how do you hold on to it when seemingly nothing's working yet?
I would probably just say you've got to trust the process. You've got to trust the process. Pastor Lowell, you know, mentions, you know, make peace of the process. And so I think there's great value in that in time things work out. you know, in time, you know, everybody's like, oh, now we understand, you know, why we should have bought crypto. Now we understand why we should use AI. You know, if when everybody's doing that, you know, it's easy to make that decision. But you gotta, how do you stay convicted? You need to understand that, you know, just be faithful to the process. And listen, starting out, if you don't know what the process is, you don't know what the process is. And so, you know, all of these things are new. And so I would just say that you've got to trust yourself. You've got to trust the source from where you got that instruction. Throughout the Bible, you know, whenever God spoke to any person, you know, there was a time from the instruction to the completion. And they had their own journey that they had to go through. A lot of people, you know, were saying contradicting things because that's not what they heard. And so you had to be convicted on, this is what I'm trusting the source. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting, you know, the process and the road that I need to walk and that I need to fulfill. You know, Paul writes it so beautifully where he says to the church, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. And so what I've realized over my life that helps me now with these tough decisions is that I need to work it out for myself. I have people in my life that definitely plays a part, that contributes, that advise, that, you know, prays with you. But at the end of the day, I need to realize that I need to make decisions for me. Because one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and there's going to be nobody next to me. And God's going to ask me, you know, what did you do with the life I've given you? And so the quicker I realize that I'm responsible, I just try and stay
convicted.
That's
so true, Pastor C. And let's face it, the process isn't sexy. It's sacred, right? Because it's your own. It's your own. And you literally have to show up like your future depends on it. Because it really does. It really does. You know, I remember when I started my business and I asked my dad, if you have any advice for me, what would it be? And he said, fail and do it fast. I was like, gee, thanks. Motivational speech of the year. And I said to him, well, that time I probably wouldn't have said it like I said now. But what I asked him was, I need context because this does not make any business sense. And he said to me, you are still young. He says, you still have time to build a business. And he said to me, there is a difference between financial prosperity and business success. Now, if I can explain it like this, there's a difference between having the finances and being a wealthy man or a woman. It's the same principle in business. You can have cash in the bank, but not a successful, good business. Your atmosphere is toxic. Your people are bad. It's just terrible in there. What I'm aiming for is not financial prosperity in my business, but great business success. That takes a different kind of build and a different kind of process, because that process involves consistency. That consistency beats the intensity of just chasing the next sale, beating the drum. And I'm all for reps, like you were saying the last time, Pastor C. I'm all for beating the drum, but it's about consistency, because where I'm aiming at is much bigger than just financial gain. It's true business success. And you have to go back to that process when the motivation is gone. Because believe me, when you're building for something bigger and deeper and more true than other people, the motivation leaves more often than not. And then you have to fall back on process. Then you have to fall back on consistency. Yeah. Then you have to fall back on the sacred and not the sexy. Not what everybody else sees, but what really matters.
Yep. That's very true. I like what you say there. I heard Alex Hormozi said this. He says, you know, a deal breaker would be if you can choose to be in a good mood for no apparent reason. See, you can come to that framework. And you were speaking about motivation, when motivation is left, you know, because you can't wait for motivation. You know, you got to have that conviction. And so he says this, he says, if you can choose to be, you know, happy, if you can choose to be positive, you know, for no apparent reason. He says, that's a game changer. He says, because if you can be upset for no apparent reason, then what is the reason that we can't flip it, we can't switch it, you know? And so it comes back to that, you know, you're taking the responsibility of this process and of this journey and knowing where you want to go. And at the end of the day, you know, it's nobody else is gonna cheer for you. You have to put in the hard yards and you gotta go and do it. You know, people might think that you are, you know, every day you want to do what you're doing. You know, people might think that you are unmotivated. People might think that, you know, every morning you get up and it's like, you know, just praise God, hallelujah, we're so excited to do this. It's not like that, you know. You have to get yourself to that place where you move towards that. So for me, I'm not so focused on, you know, exactly like you're saying, is it pretty, you know, in the process. For me, it's like, no, as long as I get it done. You know, sometimes those last two reps, it doesn't look pretty at all. Great. Got it done. You know, I got over the finish line. And so I think, and especially in today's day and age and, you know, everything being available on social media, you know, people tend to focus on, you know, how it looks versus is it practical, you know, can it work? And so I think if you understand that your process journey, then it's going to work out for you, because everybody's journey is different. Everybody's journey is different. And so we can find the similarities, you know, within the process. But at the end of the day, you gotta craft your own, you know, framework. You gotta craft your own prototype and what works for you. And what gets you motivated might not get me motivated. You know, what's gonna be a conviction for you is not gonna be a conviction for me. So yeah. I like what you said, you know, motivation.
I had a moment of laughter at myself yesterday. Heavy revelation, like literally. I was in the gym, I was doing weights, and my personal trainer who's helping me so that I have the right form and shape, I don't injure myself, mentored with me. So I thought, and we laughed about it yesterday, because he made everything extra heavy to a place that I haven't done it before. And I did basically a squat and a snatch together. And normally he counts. So I know where I'm going. I know how far I've got to go. And like, he just stopped counting like somewhere halfway. And he's like, go until you can't anymore. And then I almost, like, at that moment, he turned around and he walked away. But it's so strange for me. I carried on counting because I was like, if there's no counting and I don't know where I'm going, I'm done right here. Like, this is it for me. And in that moment, I had to really, like, literally in that moment, I was like, oh, shucks, this is business. This is vision. This is how it is. But also, in the hardest of moments, you're not going to have the people around you that you thought were going to be there. And we spoke about this and we laughed about that. But the moment he stopped counting, I had to carry on because I had to see what's coming next. What is the future? And I think so many people just stop counting in business and they get to a place where it's too heavy and they cannot anymore.
True.
And instead of counting further, because nobody is around them at that moment, they just dropped away. They just dropped the business. They just dropped the idea. But what I realized again yesterday is that consistency beats the intensity, because I was able, because I've been consistent, to just like, there we go, one more. Okay, hold on. I'm in charge here. Okay, another one, two more, three more. And I managed to finish like I normally do. But the consistency beats the intensity. And that's why I can say that. But we have to be able to see the future, whether we have the people around us or not. Because yes, we have to have people. But in the reality of things, you're going to go through stuff alone at the top and even in your process.
Absolutely. And there's something that no one warns you about. And that's when you get very clear, crystal clear on your vision. Your current reality won't necessarily match that. Like, that's huge. There's a gap between where I'm going and where I am. And exactly to your point, Dr. J, often it's lonely. So how do you then navigate that tension between being in it while still leading others?
It's an interesting question. Now go, Pastor C.
I think being aware, being aware of the journey. What I've realized as a leader is, as much as I'm leading people, I'm also leading myself. No, we'll say duh. That's how it is. What I mean by that is, you know, as much as there's a process for the people I lead, there's also a process that I'm going through, and it's to be aware of that. And so what I try and do is, when I don't have a win, I try and look for the win within the team. When the team don't have a win, I try and look for where's the win for me. Like we spoke, you know, offline just now, in this, the project I'm busy with currently is, you know, yes, there's deadlines, there's timelines, there's things that needs to happen, but I don't want to lose focus of the process that I'm in the bigger scheme of things, you know. And I think if we can do that, if we can zoom out and see, okay, how does this fit into the bigger part of my life? Because this isn't my life, it's a part of my life. You know, business isn't my life, it's a part of my life. I still have a family, I have a wife, I have a son, I have, you know, family, I've got friends, I've got hobbies. You know, there's a lot of other moving parts within my life. And so what helps me to stay focused and grounded on those things is just to at times just zoom out and just look at the bigger picture. And then at times just to zoom in and just be like, okay, for the next couple of weeks, like my family now knows, like it's crunch time. So for the next couple of weeks, you know, we might not spend all the time together that we normally do because, you know, I'm focused on achieving this goal and getting this outcome. But then, you know, to regulate and come back and zoom out again. So that works for me.
I would want to say is that in my experience, what I felt and what I've seen is that pressure doesn't cancel leadership. In my experience, it actually calls it forth. Because now I have to dig deeper to something on the inside of me during the pressure, not after. And I really believe that is what separates high impact leaders from everyone else. I have a little acronym that I quickly just went to go and get. What does it mean to lead? What it means to lead, the L is, because I love acronyms, is lock in your presence. You have to anchor yourself before you guide the others. I'm not saying you have to be perfect before you can lead others. We have this scripture that we all live by, is that we need to be planted. That's what I mean. You have to have a strong foundation. It doesn't mean you are going to be okay. It doesn't mean everything else is going to be okay. That's what I mean. Lock in your presence, breathe, pause, stand still, get yourself together. When you are going to show calm, others will find stability in you. You can't be running around like a headless chicken, and that's what I'm saying. So presence is the power that you project when everything else is shaking. And you can do that by centering yourself. The E of lead is about energy. Now, not all kinds of funny energy. I'm talking about the energy that you have as a person. So when we have pressure, your energy dips. You don't have, in Afrikaans people, I hear themselves, ek het nie die krag hiervoor nie. That's what we are saying. My energy has dipped and I don't have what it takes, or at least it feels like it. So your role is now to bring other people up and yourself, but your whole team. So you have to celebrate the effort that has been done. I always speak about the principle of John Maxwell, where he says you need to find wins. You need to put wins under your belt. So you better go back in that time and find the wins that you've tucked under your belt, because that is the energy that's going to get you through. And you have to shift your focus. I see that often that people are not doing, and therefore they stay stuck. One of the things you also spoke about in one of our podcasts is you have to shift your focus from fear to action. Because one of the responses of fear and failure is that people don't move and they freeze, right? So you have to move. In chaos, your energy is literally writing the script for everyone else. They're looking at you as the leader and they're like, okay, what are we going to do? The A stands for ask powerful questions. Now, I know Pastor C is brilliant in this, but you have to ask powerful questions. You have to ask yourself, what is the next best move? What am I going to do? What can I control right now? And the one that I always ask that's important for me is, what is hiding the lesson? What lesson is hiding here for me? Because I ain't coming out of this the same way that I've entered in here. So in that process, you create clarity, and clarity doesn't just come. You have to ask questions. You have to dig deep, right? And clarity is not given. So you go and you have to go and ask for it. So that's how you do that. You ask great questions, and the D is of lead is to drive small wins. It's great to have those wins, but once you realize, okay, I've got these things, I can work this, it's a great place to start. Start with the things that you're good at. So when you're in pressure, you cannot wait for that perfect plan, because there's no such plan in pressure as a perfect plan. So your momentum matters more. Therefore, beating the drum, doing the reps, being consistent, that builds momentum. So when that momentum is built, that's what's going to matter for you. So you focus on building your confidence and progress, but don't panic. So progress, but don't panic. Drive those small wins. So I always like to say is that small wins in pressure moments are how giants are made. You're going to grow slowly. You're going to grow gradually, but you're going to grow yourself out of this. Don't go out of this. You need to grow out of this. It's the same principle that I have, that we are watching a series, an Afrikaans series called Die Brug. And we started watching it yesterday. And I found it so funny because as we started watching it, they're literally building a bridge. And the whole family started laughing in the lounge because they're like, yeah, we know. We don't just build a bridge, we get through it, you know. So we don't get over it, we get through it. And that's the same thing. As a leader, you have to get through it with your team. Yes, you, but also with your team, because at that point of pressure, all attention turns to you as the leader, and they're looking at how you're going to take them through.
So then I suppose my question on that is, we have to grow through it. We have to move. We have to pick those wins. We have to choose our energy. But how do you know when you are meant to wait and when you are actually just resisting the necessary shift? Because those two things are in opposition to each other, but it determines whether or not you make it.
Trial and error. You know, when I played cricket many years ago, I was not the strongest guy. I was not the guy that hit the ball the hardest or the furthest, but my timing was good. So, you know, timing is simply this, is just the right angle of your bat, you know, hitting the ball at the right point of entry. And so if my timing is perfect and I hit it in the sweet spot, I don't have to hit it hard, but it will go further, where somebody else will come and try and hit it hard and they fall. So with force, they can get the ball to go to the boundary, but if you time it, less effort is needed and it looks a lot more elegant as well. So sorry for the cricket lesson, but timing is something that you develop over time. And you realize that, you know, let me say it this way. When you have to force something, then maybe you got to wait. And when you missed an opportunity, then you were too late. And so that's why I said, you know, trial and error, because nobody's going to do it right the first time. Nobody's going to perfectly execute on, you know, what has been asked if they've never done something before. And so for me, it will be definitely by trial and error. You know, maybe life was not intended to be perfect and our execution was not supposed to be perfect, but it's a journey that we're going on. And so I look at a lot of things in my life, exactly like Dr. Janine said, you know, what is the lesson that I need to learn here? Is there's a primary purpose for doing something, but I'm also looking at it from a bigger perspective to say, but who am I becoming in the process of it? That'll be my answer, because it's definitely a tough situation, you know, when do you wait and when do you move forward, you know? There's a nice portion in scripture with the Bible where God speaks to David and he says to him, you know, when you hear the ruffling and you hear the winds in the mulberry tree tops, then you'll know that my armies have arrived, and then you go. And so great if you have those signs. But just because the wind blows, you know, every day doesn't mean like that's God. It was for that specific moment and that point. And so yeah, it'll be trial and error. for me, you know, and I try and harness on that timing thing. It's like, okay, whenever I push something, whenever I have to exert more force, and that's out of my comfort zone. So for me, then I know that that's not the best shot. That's not the right time. Somebody else that comes in here, like one of my other friends, that was also Christy. He was a power hitter, man. That guy can come in first ball and just hit it out of the park. Like, I mean, he had pure power. That was his strength. And so if I look in business, like he would probably force a lot of things open, you know, and opportunities. Where with me, I'm going to look for the right time. I'm going to look for that timing because that's just the strength that I can play.
I would say, first of all, I love that question. My short answer will be peace over pressure. I spoke to a group in this week and I said to them, I know one of the things we need to remember in difficult times is that we need to build at God's pace and not the world's pressure. Because I like what you said, Pastor C, and it's like that. Sometimes we're feeling, not we're putting too much into it, it just feels forced. So that's where the peace comes in over the pressure. Sometimes we just choose the pressure part, but then we don't understand why we fail and why we don't get at it. So that's why I say peace over pressure is that we build at God's pace and not the world's pressure, because it comes from the scripture in Proverbs where it speaks in the hearts of humans, or we as humans, we make plans, but the Lord establishes our steps. I think it's the Message version that's my absolute favorite, that, and I've said it before, is that we roll the dice, but God determines how it falls. So if we are doing things at God's pace and not pressure, there we will find the success. The world pushes speed. That's what they do. Everything is moving faster. Everything needs to be done faster. Here's a tool to help you to finish faster. But God prioritizes direction and exactly what you said in the beginning, obedience. God prioritizes direction and obedience. It's the opposite of the world that pushes the speed the whole time. And your assignment, the bigger picture, is not just to get there fast, but to get there the right way. And the question I always ask is, Lord, what is the right step for me right now? As people that are planners and strategists, we want to see the whole picture. But I've very quickly had to realize that when it comes to my own life and my relationship with God, it's a simple question as, Lord, is this your step for me right now? Or what is the very next step that I have to make? Because I do. I've thrown that dice. But at the end of the day, God is going to determine how it falls. And the only way I can manage and guide through that is to choose peace every single time over the pressure.
That's so powerful, Dr. J. I was sharing with a group this morning, and specifically on Psalms 86 in the Passion Translation, verse 11 says, teach me more about you, how you work and how you move, so that I can walk onward in your truth until everything within me brings honor and glory to your name. With all my heart and passion, I will thank you, O God, my God. I will give glory to your name forever. And then he talks about how God's strength becomes his strength. But that's only possible when I know how he works, when I know how he moves, when I do exactly what you just said, peace over pressure. And I think that's a message for all of us. There are ways to do things, obviously. There are ways that other people do things, but that's not what we are called to do. And that's not how we are called to do. And we said it last week as well. We see the highlight, and that's all we see. And we often think that the highlight is all there is, but that's not true. Our process is different. We're supposed to be different. And I love what you say, Dr. J. It's not about creating wealth. It's about creating success. It's about the impact, not the money, because money you can make. It's a man-made thing. It's about the impact and the success. And impact is about the people we leave behind. It's about how we've helped people through, or how we've, if you think about impact as an imprint, you all had kids, you know, we all did it, got the clay and you put their hands in the clay and forever in that piece of clay, as long as nobody drops it, there's that tiny little moment in time that you've left there. And that's what we do with people. And that's what we're called to do, I believe, in our businesses. And that's what this conversation and this podcast is about. And we are also at the end of our time today because people have things to do. So if you're listening and you feel like you're in the stretch, I want to remind you that you are not behind. You are being shaped. And if obedience is costing you comfort or clarity, maybe you're not getting the applause, good. That means that you're walking and working on something that's real. So stay focused, stay faithful, and keep moving even when it's quiet. Dr. J said it. It's about the consistency. If today's episode met you where you are, that's amazing. Please remember to like and subscribe this podcast. It helps more people to receive the message so that we can get the word out. And we want to hear from you. If you've got questions or some reflections, please email me at odette@amplifycoach.biz. Drop us a comment in the comment section. Follow us on social media. Leave us a DM. Whether it's leadership, obedience, alignment, whatever you're wrestling with right now, your voice matters. We want to hear from you. So remember, you're not alone in this. You belong here and you belong in these conversations. Thanks for joining us. See you next time. Done. On time.